Okay, we're in the middle of chapter 15 of Sefer Shoftim, and what we'll be learning about is the amazing and fantastical and shocking stories of Shimshon HaGibor. Shimshon HaGibor, everyone gets their own moniker, although he was a Shofet, and we'll learn about that at the end of the chapter. He's most known for his Gevura and the fantastical stories about him. We left off where the Plishtim were preparing to go to war against Klal Yisrael, and the Yehudim, presumably Sheva Yehuda, representing Klal Yisrael, they tied up Shimshon. Shimshon then, when he saw he was going to hand them over, said, "Do me a favor, tie me up with new rope." New rope means he tied them up with very strong rope. It's not used. And when he tied them up, they gave them over to the Plishtim. And then the Plishtim were going to do as they please with Shimshon. We discussed last week the very important topic of handing or reporting Jews over to the local government officials. We discussed that from both a halachic and a historical perspective, because here in this issue, that issue of Mesira, the truth is both of those go together. Very rare, usually, you have halacha and then you have hashkafa. You have halacha and you have history. But when it comes to this halacha, really the history impacts the halacha. Because if we're living in a government that we're not afraid that someone's life is going to be, you know, just ignored, or the government doesn't care about Jewish life, then there's one halacha mesira. Today, thank God, we live in a Medina Shel Chesed, and things are a bit different. So let's pick up now in the middle of Perek Tesvav. They are at a place that's called Lehi. That's where they are. That's where everybody is, you know, really coming together in the middle of all of this. And the Navi tells us the following. The Navi tells us we are in Pasuk Yudalad. Pasuk Yudalad, right before that, Vayomru lo lemor ki asor. So the Yehudim say to Shimshon, ki asor nesracha unisanucha biadam. We are just going to tie you up. We're not going to kill you. We're not going to do anything to you. We're just going to tie you up. They tie him up really well with two brand new, fresh from Home Depot, you know, fresh new ropes. And they take him and they brought him up to this rock. And I guess this would be like the transfer point from one, you know, one person to the other, you know, and like the local jail drops off the guy at the other prison, and this is the transfer at this moment. Hu ba ad lechi, and he goes, and he's at a place until lechi. That's a place. Lechi also has another meaning. Anyone know what the meaning of the word lechi is?
I think it has to do with a sukkah or not a sukkah,
an Eruv.
Actually, a lechi there means a post. Good. A lechi there means a post. You have a lechi and a korah. You have a cross beam and you have a side beam, like a post. That's definitely one. This is Noah Markowitz. She's joining us today. And she's feeling okay. Just woke up a little bit late. Say hello to everybody. No? Okay. And lechi also means something else, part of our body. Anyone know? Lechi has another meaning. Lechi also means a cheek or a jaw. That air, something in this area. We'll see how that's relevant right now. Hu ba'ad lechi. He goes to the place called lechi. Uplishtim heiri'u likraso. And the plishtim came shouting to greet Shimshon. It was like a very intense moment. You can imagine, like, all the screaming, yelling at him, what you do, who are you? V'titzlach alav ruach Hashem. At this moment, again, we have the same language that has been used beforehand when Shimshon, as a precursor to when Shimshon gets this unbelievable amount of strength. A Ruach Hashem, a spirit of God, overcomes him. But Tiena Ha'avosim Asher Al Zra'osav Kepishtim Asher Ba'aru Ba'esh. And the very strong ropes that he's being tied up with right now, it's as if they are nothing. They melt like they are flax that are melting in the fire. Vayimasu asurav me'al yado. There's a bit of a discussion here amongst the poskim, amongst the commentators, whether this is literal or not. Meaning, this might be a very beautiful allegory to show how strong Shimshon was. It was like he is being tied with like a very thin, tiny, nothing rope. And the way that the Navi is describing it is like very, very thin, very, very over the top. It's like it melted in his hands. But other Mefarshim take this very, very literally, and that he was so strong that the power of his might teamed up with the Ruach Hashem, literally caused the ropes to just be removed from his hands. It's not as if they were singed by flames, but it literally happened, which is just very, it shows the power that Shimshon had in many, many ways. Okay. The Navi continues. Vayimsa lechi chamor. He took and he found a lechi chamor tiriya. He took and found a fresh jawbone. The jaw of a chamor. What's a chamor? Of a donkey. Vayishlach yado. He sent out his hands. Vayikachaha. Vayachba elef ish. So he takes a fresh jawbone of a donkey in his hands. He sends out his hand and he takes it. And with that jawbone, he kills 1,000 men. So 1,000 men. That's a lot of people. Now, there's a lot of questions we can ask in this before we get into like the unbelievable questions. Very literal question is Vayishlach Yado Vayikachah. It's a double language. Right, he sends out his hands and he takes. Just say vayikach biyado, or say vayishlach yado. What is vayishlach yado, vayikacheha? That's a double expression here. So says the Mefarshim that this is pointing out that Hashkacha had it, that this jawbone was literally right next to him. He didn't have to go anywhere to find this jawbone. He didn't need to look for a weapon of his choice, a club, a hammer, or something. He was able just very quickly, very closely to him, take this jawbone and use it to attack his potential. They didn't torment him yet, but his potential tormentors at this very moment. That's what the Mefarshim say here, is why the language is a little bit redundant in nature. Now, what is, or why a jawbone? Why specifically a jawbone of a donkey? Any thoughts? Anyone have any thoughts as to why a donkey, or why a jawbone specifically? No thoughts? What does donkey represent?
What shevet was he from?
He was from the shevet of Dan.
And what's their symbol? What's their
Nachash. Nachash alei derech.
Okay.
And then later on, a Gur Aryeh, also a cub, a lion cub.
Oh.
Okay, so I'll share with you three thoughts that I saw in a Sefer as to what exactly this represents. So some of Farshim say, the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, writes that this donkey was not just any donkey, but it was the donkey of Avraham Avinu. Avraham had a donkey that he used to take, you know, to take Yitzchak Avinu to the Akedah, and he used a donkey. So some Mefarshim say that that's the donkey that he was using. It's the Sefer called Tosefta de Targum, who writes that that's what it represented. And although you can ask a question, because we say that the donkey that Shimshon used was the same donkey. This is the donkey that Avram used, was the same donkey that Moshe used, and the same donkey that Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to bring. So how could he use a jawbone of a donkey? Okay, so that is a reasonable question if we're taking this measure very literally. But maybe it's representative of something. Maybe it's representing that just like the Avraham used this donkey to bring some type of Yeshua, some type of salvation to his people, to his child. The child was ultimately saved. Moshe Rabbeinu used the same chamor, same donkey. He was saved. He brought salvation, geula, to the Jewish people. Mashiach Tzidkenu was going to bring the same donkey. That's going to bring Yeshua. So too, that's what Shimshon himself was doing as well. One second. That could be what's going on here. But in a deeper way, the Maharal Meprag writes that why is Mashiach going to be riding on a donkey? Of all things, a donkey is not like the fanciest, nicest of animals. Kings and queens did not ride on donkeys. What is unique about a donkey? So the Maharal writes that the word for donkey is chamor, which comes from the word chumrius, which comes from the word which means like matter, things in this world. And that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be like the Mashiach riding on top of a donkey. That the Jewish people are going to reach a state where we overcome the matters in this world. And maybe that's what this represents. Shimshon is not on top of the donkey, but he is holding it in his hand. Shimshon is somebody that struggles with the chumrius. He struggles, He struggles with what he experiences in his own life, with the challenges of the women in particular, and other matters related to that. So maybe, and that's why he was a Nazir. So maybe this represents his struggles. Other Mefarshim say that maybe this is from the donkey of Bilam. And then there is the Ramat Vali. Rav David Vali was a student. Rav Moshe David Vali was a student of the great Arizal. And he has a parish on all of Tanakh. And in his parish on Tanakh, that Shimshon at this moment needed to take the power of a different Shevet that is represented by the donkey, which Shevet is represented. So Mendy, you're on the right page. What right track? What Shevet is the donkey? That is a Shevet of Yisachar. That Yisachar is Chamor Gorim, Ravetzal Mishpatayim, that just like Yisachar is, works extremely hard in their Talmud Torah with tremendous amount of Amelus and Yegia, they work and toil all day and all night in their Torah. That is representative, indicative of the donkey that takes and can hold a lot of packages on its back. So to Shimshon, at this moment, the Koach, the strength, that where was his strength coming from? His strength was coming from the Torah. The strength is coming from Torah, and that is represented by the donkey. That approach is, I would say, like somehow very different than the initial approach, because we can ask, what type of person was Shimshon? Was he a Torah guy or not? And we've been struggling with this throughout the learning about Shimshon, and maybe this, again, is representing those two aspects over here. Okay, so now last point is that Shimshon was able to kill 1,000 people. 1,000 people. So the Balei Tosfos in Parshas Bechukosai, right before the Tochacha, always before the Tochacha, there's always Bracha. Before we get into the bad stuff, there's always good stuff. And right when we get in there, the Torah tells us that if we follow God's will, then one person will be able to chase 100 people, and two people could chase 10,000. So the Hadar Zakenim, which is one of the Baalei Tosfos, or a compilation of Baalei Tosfos, writes that although the numbers don't really line up, that's really this nevuah, or what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying then, came true in the times of Shimshon. Echa haya sheyirdof echa Yisrael elef gayim. When is there going to be ever a time when one person could chase away and kill 1,000 from the foreign nations who are attacking us? Hainu Shimshon. This is Shimshon. Kid Amar belechi achamor hikisi elef ish. That is what is happening here. So he's putting this into Torah terms, that the Nevuah, or what Shimshon did right now, is something that the Torah prophesied about many, many years before, which is amazing. Okay, so now what happens? Vayomer Shimshon b'lechia chamor, chamor chamorasayim b'lechia chamor, Ikesi Elefish. So Shimshon sees this, experiences it, and says, Chamor Chamartayim. This is a Lashon Nofel Lashon, we would say in Hebrew. It's like an expression that you're using a double entendre, that heap upon heaps. I use a chamor, I use a donkey to kill them, but chamor also means like a heap, a pile of. They're heap upon heaps. I use my jawbone to kill this many people. So that is what is, you know, happening here. So when he finishes talking, he lets go, he like throws it away in a very like gruff, you know, type of way, just like throws it away. And they call this place Ramat Lachi, like Ramat Beit Shemesh, Ramat Shiloh. It's a very common word that's used, which means the hill of, right? The hill of ammunition hill, Givat HaTachmoshet, right? You have the word Givat. You have, sorry, that's Givat means valley, but I don't know. But usually Ramat means the hill of, or here can mean that Ramat also means to throw. So this is either symbolic of just like the place, it's a hill. It's named the Jawbone Hill today, or it's referred to as Ramah, as the throwing of the Lechi. That's what the Mitzvot David's write, that it's named Ramah because it was thrown. Al Shem Shohishlich Shames Alechi, Kedargum Shavayashlechu Ramah, and he threw the Lechi, and that is why the name, this place got its name. Vayitzma, so after this happens, what is Shimshon's personal reaction to this story? Vayitzma ma'od, vayikra l'Hashem vayomar. He gets very thirsty. No, killing thousands of people, fighting in a war, that's going to happen. Never happened. I don't know. I never fought in a war, but I can imagine. Get very hungry, very thirsty. Vayitzma ma'od, vayikra l'Hashem vayomar. He calls out to God. Right. This could be the first time. Can you remind me that he calls out to God? The Yomar Atan Asata Biyad Avdecha. It's a Chua Gedola Azos. You put into our hands this unbelievable victory. Ata Amus Bitzama. You gave me this victory, but now I'm going to die in thirst. God, I need help. I'm thirsty. Apparently, probably, there was nothing around. There's nothing around. If I stay here, I'm going to die of thirst. So this is, again, very extreme. And now I'm going to die in the hands of the Arelim, the uncircumcised, which is the very negative term that we use, derogatory term used that we use for the Plishtim. So, but this is Shimshon using his desires and his extreme way of talking. So Hashem split opens the hole that was in the lechi, in the lechi is this bone that he was using, literally in the jawbone. Hashem makes a miracle for Shimshon. This is the first, I would say, overt Nes Nigla that we see for Shimshon. Vayetze mimenu mayim, and water comes out of this jawbone. Vayesht, vatashav rucho, vayechi, akin karashima, ein hakorei, asher v'lechi adayom hazeh. So Shimshon has a jawbone. He calls this place Ein HaKorei Asher B'yad HaLechi. And they call the place Ein HaNikra, Ein HaKorei, to remember this. Where the Malbim writes, L'zecher Shakorei L'Hashem Yaneu B'nis. This is to remind us that people that call out to God will be remembered and be answered via miracle. Vel Nesh Shal Adam Mitsuyan Mitsuyan Chayavon Lavarech Shmegil Makamahu L'Das Ksas. We learn the Mishnayos and Maseches Brachos teach us that whenever you see a miracle that happened to Klal Yisrael and you fancy upon that place, you're obligated to make a miracle, say a bracha. This is by if you saw the Yamsuf, if you saw the rock where Moshe stood, where the battle happened, you make a bracha. So here too, Shasli Nes. So the Malbim is writing here that something amazing. When he called it in HaKorei, that was like a bracha that Shimshon gave to recognize this miracle. And he renamed the same place. So now it's called either Ramat Lechi or Ein HaKorei. He renamed it to call it Ein HaKorei Asher B'Lechi, to remember that miracle that happened to him personally at this moment, not just the miracle that he did to win this battle against the Plishtim, but about everything else that happened to him with the water at this moment. So that's the Malbim's adding, interjecting halacha into what's going on here, reflecting that he is following the halacha. He's following, he wants to keep the halacha at this moment. Okay. Vayishpot bimei es Yisrael, bimei aplishtim esrim shana. And Shimshon judged the people. He was the shofet for the people for 20 years. So here, many of the mefarshim are very bothered by this, because usually, what we've seen, the pattern we've seen in the first 14, not including this one, chapters in Shoftim, is whenever you have a Shofate, whenever all the stories end about him, then at the end of all the stories about him, the Navi says, oh, by the way, there was about 20, 15, 30 boring years, nothing going on. And he was a Shofate for this amount of years. He dies and he's buried in blank, right? However, this is not the end of the stories of Shimshon. Shimshon's stories continue. Next pasuk. So why here in the middle of Shimshon's narrative does the Navi tell us and it's a funny way of saying it, he was a shofet over the Jewish people in the times of the Plishtim, Esrim Shana. So the way that the Radak writes it. Radak writes it this. Tam bimei plishtim. Hayimem she plishtim moshim Yisrael. Hu hoshia mehem. Alpha bishel loisa tshu Hashem shleima. So Radak writes here is that the Navi wants to put it in the middle to perhaps teach us that this was never a full salvation. The as opposed to beforehand where we had a complete respite from our enemies, the plishtim was not a complete respite from the Plishtim at all. And they were still aggressive towards us. They were still ruling over us. Although they stopped bothering us during times of Shimshon, they were just afraid at a certain point. And we got a break for 20 years. But it wasn't a complete break where we had autonomy completely over here. Others want to argue that the reason why this is mentioned specifically here is to tell us that this is where Shimshon's leadership and positive qualities end. We're going to read more stories about Shimshon, but Shimshon, after this, although he may continue to go out against the Plishtim, he was no longer the leader of the Jewish people. He took a tremendous downturn for Klal Yisrael. And this like sort of sums up, yeah, he was a leader. He continued to be the leader, the Shofi for the Jewish people. But we'll see that he makes several mishaps and mistakes and gets involved and entangled with certain people that we wouldn't necessarily want to get involved with. And as a result of that, they want to close off his life now and break it into two. This was the positive. And now there's more things that are going to happen, but they shouldn't be remembered in the same light as Shimshon vis-a-vis the shofet of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we're going to stop here. Next week, Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue with chapter 16, which is the final chapter of Sefer Shoftim. And really, in a certain way, it's the end of Shoftim. We'll talk about that at the end, because there's another six chapters of Shoftim. Don't get me wrong. See here, there's a total of 21 chapters in Shoftim. It's a big discussion when Shoftim ends, and there's certain chapters that might have been out of order. And we'll have to talk about that as well when those discussions come up. Okay, thank you for your patience today. I wish everybody a warm and wonderful and healthy and safe week.
We'll see you live Thursday, Rabbi, in the shul.
Looking forward. Take care.
Okay.